There are two coverings in view, and one of which is her hair, which is given to her for a covering. But the other is something that is removed at will. And that's the fault. That's the only way you can make sense of verses 4 and 5, and particularly verse 6. If you try to say that her hair is her covering and read verse 6, it's nonsense. Verse 6 says, "For if the woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered." Well, that's nonsense if her hair is her covering. So,
I might carry it. I see three coverings in there: the man's covered head, the woman's uncovered head, and then the hair as a natural illustration of that covering. And it's a glorious covering. It's her glory. You see, in Luke, the Lord comes into Simon's house. And the lady of ill repute comes in and washes his feet with tears. And they say, you know, he knew what kind of woman this was, you know. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, you know, you gave me no kiss. You washed my feet not. This woman hasn't ceased to wash my feet." And what did she do? She wiped his feet with her glory. With her glory. It's a chapter of glories. It's God's glory. The man is the man's glory, woman, and it's her glory, her hair. It's a glorious kind of an object lesson, I would say. Like Jeff said, you can't confuse. The typical arguments are that it's, you know, the hair is the covering. That can't be, because you can't put it on and take it off. Then only bald men could pray. You know, that's just ludicrous. The other argument was that it's cultural. Angels aren't cultural. Another argument that's pretty lame is that it was because of the Corinthian prostitutes, you know. Well, that verse 16, if I can find it here. This is in the Living Bible. If the Living Bible can get it right, probably anybody else. No, yeah. I won't be able to find it here.
Well, he's looking for that. I would say that the hair is a covering, and it covers, if you think of it, it says that the man is the glory of God, and then the woman is the glory of the man. And she, her hair is her covering, but it's also a glory. Okay? So you still got a problem of a competing glory with the man who is the glory of God. So then she has to put on an additional covering, which covers her hair, which is, as well as covering her who is the glory of the man, it also is covering her own personal glory, so that the only glory that is seen is the glory of God.
Well, I can't find it, but basically it says, if anybody has any problem with this, we teach the same in all the churches. The rendering in the King James is a little awkward. But the point is, if anybody contends over this, none of the churches argue with this. In other words, this was taught in all of the churches, not just the Church of Corinth. This was the common teaching of the day. So.
And we could say that really until the 50s, it was the common practice of all the churches also. I mean, yeah. I remember in the Catholic Church, women wearing mantillas. And yeah. I remember going on the occasion, we were in the island of Malta, and we went into the church there, in the Catholic Church, and straight away, they came up and they gave a scarf to my mother, said, "Put that on." Yeah. You know, so it was the practice in all the churches. It's only since the 60s where we've seen rebellion against any kind of authority that this issue has become an issue of contention again. And again, are we going to follow what's going on in the world, or are we going to stick to what the Word says?
In the Protestant church that I grew up in, all of the ladies wore a hat. I mean, my mother, and I can remember my mother going back to get her hat. Now, they didn't know why they wore it, I think. And so when hats went out of fashion, you know, it went out of fashion. But, and Rudy will bear this out, I think, even today, you will seldom go into a black church that all of the ladies are not wearing a covering of some type, hat, mantilla, something. I don't think they know why they're doing it. But virtually every black church that I've been in, the ladies always have something covering their head. Given today.
Mark.
Got a question, comment first. Something I had noticed in the past, when you talk about cultural issues, the letter to the Corinthians, there are at least, wrote them down, there are at least a half a dozen times Paul alludes in that letter to something that is binding on all the churches, whether it's collection for the saints, the order in 1 Corinthians 14. So, I don't know of any other letter from Paul that he so outwardly says this is binding on all churches. Question I have is, because it was alluded to yesterday, and it's a little off the subject this morning, but when he says, does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? The question often arises from a practical standpoint, how long is long? And could you, any one of the three, elaborate on that issue for us?
Jeff sitting long.
I got a haircut before I came, to be sure.
I don't know that you can define. Usually when that question comes up, it's because somebody's trying to pick nits. But I don't know if you can define long or short. Anything I would define, Jeff would say, is too long. But I think you can tell the difference between feminine and masculine. And I think about any haircut that you... Some of our ladies have relatively short hair that are here today. I can sure tell that they're feminine ladies' haircuts. On the other hand, the lady that does this is a gal, a fitness guru that shaves her hair into a butch haircut. I can tell that's not a feminine haircut. Now why does she do that, you know? Why is the attack on her glory? I won't go there, but I think you can tell. I don't think it matters too much. Ladies should have relatively longer hair than men do. Men should have relatively shorter hair than ladies do. And I think you may not be able to define when it's right, but most of us can tell when it's wrong.
I think the point is that there's to be a distinction. And when a man's hair becomes long, however you want to define that, that distinction becomes lost. And I think that's really the point of it. There should be a distinction between a man and a woman when it comes to length of hair.
The passage that Jeff went over in Genesis, by the way, very important passage for anybody that does biblical counseling. The root of many of the problems in marriages today, I'm not sure who brought it up, but it's this role reversal. And it's the whole issue of the woman trying to usurp authority from the man and the man trying to keep her in her place under him. John MacArthur's done one of the best exegesis of this passage that I've seen. And he says the best textual rendering, the American Standard, of 4:7 in Genesis is that sin will desire to master or control you, but you must master it. And it's exactly the same wording, phraseology, and everything in 3, where it deals with the woman and the man. And if you're dealing with marriage problems, this is a real key issue to get figured out, because that's where a lot of the problems start.
If y'all can hold the mic a little bit closer, it would help. And I think Warren has a question.
Okay, I would like to ask the panel to tighten up the connection between the praying and prophesying in verse 5 and the meeting for the local church.
I think what's going on in verse 5 is Paul is dealing with a compound problem, and in chapter 11 he clearly deals with the issue of headship, and so he's just talking about what is happening in the church at Corinth, and focusing on the headship. But then when you get to chapter 14, he deals with the public ministry in the assembly. And then he deals with the issue of the woman's silence. And so I think he's just dealing with one problem at a time, doing it decently and in order. And so quite clearly, chapter 11, headship and glory is the dominant theme. Quite clearly, chapter 14 is public ministry and manifestation. of that.
It was suggested yesterday that the holiness of the woman was manifested by the length of her skirt. And I'm wondering if the size of the head covering is also a suggestion of holiness, and the length of her hair is also a suggestion of holiness. The brethren traditionally have worn hats. When mantillas came out and they began to wear them, they were condemned and accused of being unholy and of being irresponsible and disobedient. And those young people who came in covering their hair with a mantilla were judged. And of course, perhaps we've gotten past that. But when we think of the subject, I am in agreement with what our brother has mentioned. But I think we've missed the fourth ingredient in that chapter, and that is the hair. We've talked about the bread and the cup and the covering, but we don't ever hear a message or seldom hear a discussion on the hair. And I would like to know if we are missing the boat and if we should just let it go, or if long hair is a symbol of holiness because it is what God has given. Or do we just say, well, it's a cultural thing to have short hair? Most of our women in the assemblies have short hair, unless they're young people. And I think in some respects it's a disgrace to the aspect of holiness and to the intimation, if not the words of the text. And I would like to know why we deal with head covering so much and with hair so little.
Real quick, before that one's answered, I'm just along the same line as that. Could you differentiate between, over here, sorry. Differentiate between the length of the hair. Is it length or is it style? I heard up there just a minute ago that you mentioned style a lot. And a lot of women have short hair. That is, their hair is the same length as the most men. But they style it femininely. And is that what we're talking about, style or length? Because it does say, but if a woman has long hair, there's a glory to her. It's along the same line.
No, I didn't mean anyway, style. In this passage, I believe it's talking about length. And I think comparatively is what I meant to say, that, the women should have longer hair. Comparatively, men should have shorter hair. My personal opinion is if you get much beyond this, then we move into legality. You know, how long is long, how short is short. In the skirts, I don't think it's a matter of so much how long as it is a matter of modesty. It needs to be long enough to be modest. How long is that? Well, again, I don't know that we know the length, but I think we know when it's too short. Same thing with hair, too. It's hard to define too short or too long, but I think we know when it's not right. And there again, these are places where the body works as a family, and it would be hard for me as a man to take Miss Jan aside or one of the ladies aside and tell her her dress is inappropriate or that her hair is inappropriate. But I think the older ladies, this is one of their functions. They can take a lady aside and gently, in teaching and exampling, they can bring about those changes that maybe would be difficult for a man to deal with.
I just wanted to make a comment on the covering itself, because you did mention about the difference between the hat, the covering, the size of coverings. And again, if we believe that the woman's hair is her glory, I believe that that glory should be covered. So I, much as I'm delighted to see a woman with a covering on her head, even if it is, in my opinion, a micro covering, I still think it's more biblical if the hair is covered, because that's her glory, and we don't want any competing glory. The issue of hats, I'm very familiar with that, and when we taught this to the Christians in the assembly in Ireland, they went to a conference that was held by a group that still would hold on to hats very, and the ladies themselves made the comment, those are a substitute glory, and some of them were, peacock feathers and all. And so I think we need to realize that I think the mantilla is much more of a biblical covering, because it covers. I mean, the word covering has by its very nature that meaning, that it's something that covers.
Well,
just quickly along the same lines, I was glad to hear that comment. I was about to make a very similar comment relative to the size of the covering. And I always think about this example. I remember being in a meeting one time, and I was sitting directly behind a lady, and I'm not exaggerating. Her hairdo was up to here. I mean, it was just, you know, and way up on the top was this little bitty covering. And I think that sort of loses the point. I mean, that's not, you know, that does not cover her personal glory, particularly when it's a do that's, you know, up to here somewhere. So that's...
That's just we're in the wrong circle. If you're in a different circle, you'd hear it preached all the time.
I just wanted to comment, there have been some assemblies where they kept some hats, for the ladies. And, our feeling was that if you could, even if you put 10 hats on the lady, but if her heart wasn't right, it really didn't do any good. The other, comment I have is, in the world we see, what the authority, of the covering is. You go on a construction site, who's the boss? It's the guy with the gold helmet. And then the military has different hats for their officers, and then over and above that, you've got field grade officers with the scrambled eggs and so on. It's a symbol of authority. Then we have two religious organizations in the world, and hats are a symbol with them. And the Jewish people, they cover their head when they pray to God. They don't recognize the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the Roman Catholic Church, you got all sorts of hats, and it designates many things, but the different color of the hat and how tall the hat is. And they've got the man that takes the place of Christ on earth. So I think our thinking about these things, we realize the importance of covering in the presence of God, or uncovering in case. We got the covered woman and the uncovered man. If I went up there and prayed with my head covered, it would offend people. But we don't look at the other side of that particular issue.
Thank you, Brother Ennis. We have time for one more brief question. I think right back in the back there.
In regards to the hair, is the word covering the same as the word covering uncovered? If it's the same, then the man would have to be bald-headed if it meant hair. If the covering meant hair, then the man, it says, should have his head uncovered. Well, how can a man uncover his head? By being bald, that's all. So I don't think the covering refers to hair at all.
Okay, I think that's been addressed one time before, so it's time for us to take our break, I believe. And I think we will follow through with the alternate plan. I understand Alan is on his way, but I don't know when he'll be here. So after the break, the break was intended to be 30 minutes. So at about 10:45, if you will select one of the breakout sessions and attend one of the breakout sessions, and then those who are instructing those sessions, please